Work it, make it, do it, makes us harder, better, faster, stronger.
Richardson, the running back, they give it to him over the right side, dives, he's in, touchdown, Trent Richardson.
Weaver looking, right corner of the end zone, throws, touchdown, Jordan Cameron.
What a beautiful throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Weaver to throw. He's going to go long. Looking long for Gordon. He's out there. He's got it. 10-5. Touchdown. No doubt about it.
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
And we welcome you to a Football Monday. It is a Reaction Monday here on Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagora. Ugh. Not a lot of good reaction to what we saw Saturday night, but we will get into it. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. Good to be in studio with you here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And you know what? It was the preseason, so that's a good thing. This wasn't week one of the season where we have to get all upset. And we've had two very good showings, and now we've had one not so good showing. And I'll still take the odds of 2-1. And we'll get into this in great detail. I got a lot of notes. I know you have a lot of notes after watching this game a couple of times. There were some positives to take away from it. Obviously, this is not the offensive performance that people wanted to see. We talked about keeping the momentum going for this Cleveland Browns team, and it didn't happen. It didn't happen.
Didn't come close to happening.
No, I mean, I think it stalled.
That was my base concern over what we saw. I call it a concern. What I was flashing the red light about after that first preseason game against Detroit and how efficient and effective Brandon Whedon looked. And then, of course, all he did was up the ante with his performance against St. Louis. And I think that's where the difficulty in assessing what we saw Saturday, the difficulty of wrapping your mind around where this team is begins, because the more extended performance by Whedon and the offense only rendered concern. It took us back, unfortunately, to last year too often. A lot of conservatism in checking down and not seeing those chunk shots that we saw in the first two games. Were they not there? In some cases, they weren't. In some cases, I'll give the Colts a lot of credit for good coverage, or give the Browns a hit for not the receivers for not getting open well enough and not providing those opportunities, and put some criticism on Brandon Whedon for maybe not looking enough to those options and taking the available thing underneath, because that had not been what this offense was doing for a couple of weeks. So I think the scary part for Browns fans was, okay, did we see which is the real Brandon Whedon, the guy we saw for the first two games or the guy we saw Saturday night?
And I think that's the question that's going to be answered as this season goes on. But you're right, it hits on some of the fears that people have had about Brandon Whedon. And I'll say this, and like I said, we're going to get to more detail on overall the game, but right. I think Brandon Whedon is a good place to start here. And even though, you know, we still have lots coming up, we got Scott Petrak at 1:15 p.m. Eastern. We've got Jerod Cherry later on in hour number one. So we'll get into some other people's voices, but I want to talk about Whedon for a second. And I watched the tape back multiple times. He only had one completion of more than 10 yards in the air. That was a 16-yarder to Josh Gordon.
Right.
He was 1 of 9 on passes over 10 yards in the air, 11 of 16 on short passes for 89 yards, finished averaging 4.2 yards per attempt for the game. That's half of what he'd been averaging in the first two games. He did throw it down, so one out of every three was still a little bit down the field. It just was not effectively done. I didn't like that. And really, over 20 yards in the air, they really didn't try anything. So that was a departure from the beginning. And the weird thing about it was, to me, and this is where I think you brought up a very good point, Vic, was he was only under pressure, what I consider to be under pressure, 6 out of 25 dropbacks.
Yeah.
He really wasn't under pressure.
He was not forced
into checking down. So it brings up a couple of things. Number one, was the coverage that good on the back end? And on certain plays, definitely, people were covered. But also, it kind of brings up a point that Bernie sat in here and talked about quite a bit. In the preseason, that's the time to take those chances, to try to squeeze it in to a tight window every now and then. Because when you want to win a meaningful game in the NFL in December, you're going to have to make some throws in the very, very tight window. So I would have liked to see Brandon take a few chances down the field like that. So it was. And the other part was there wasn't a lot of separation. Gordon got free a couple of times. Greg Little may have seemed like he was wearing an Indianapolis Colt on his back. There was always a Colt defender right next to him. So it was a little bit troubling, a lot of checking down. I would have liked to see him maybe take a little bit more time to throw the ball down the field. I also would say that sometimes I felt, especially against zones, he had predetermined where he was going to go with the football and yes. almost stared it down too much to the point where the windows in the zones were closing faster than they would have had he kept his eyes more in the middle of the field.
Yeah, I saw a team come up against better competition and say, okay, they're better than we are, because they were outclassed and outplayed by a Colts team in every phase, really. And when you look at it, we're starting with Brandon Whedon. We can get into some of those defensive components and how well Andrew Luck played. But I'll bring up Andrew Luck now for this point. Andrew Luck, even he faced some pressure. The Browns did, even without Jabal Sheard and Desmond Bryant, get some heat on him. But what he was doing was not only finding those receivers, finding those places to get the ball when he had to move around a little bit, and then when he moved around, he used that athleticism, and that's really what is separating him from everyone else among those rookie quarterbacks. He doesn't have to be the dynamic runner. He just runs enough, and his feet were damaging to the Browns defense, and he extended plays and made things happen. Brandon Whedon had nothing else. Even though his footwork is better than it was last year, and when he moved around okay to see some things better, threw a pass, made a couple of good decisions to throw the ball away, but there was nothing extra in what Brandon did. And what his default setting was, I'm going to throw the safe thing. I'm going to throw the thing that's open. I'm not going to challenge. And I have a problem with that. He needs to be challenging. This offense demands that you challenge. It also demands that receivers do get open. And Josh Gordon, for his part, had some trouble in that area. Greg Little had a lot of trouble in that area. As you were talking about the way he was sort of wearing defenders, his general lack of speed, his inability to really threaten and push defenders upfield is an issue with me.
Hey, listen, 3 catches for 28 yards in the game, and the bulk of those yards came on one where a guy went for a pick and somehow the ball got to Little and he was able to run up the sideline. But in the preseason, in 3 games, he's averaging 9.8 yards per catch and just over 5 yards per target. And I remember him sitting in that chair right there, Vic, saying, well, when you look at Norv Turner's offense historically, if I catch 50 passes, I'm going to go for another 300 yards. If I catch the same number of passes I did last year, because of the way this offense works, I'm going to go, you know, for 300 more yards, because the yards per catch are going to be over 15. The targets are yards per target going to be around 10. I'm not seeing that with Little, because I haven't seen in 3 games now, and there have been significant snaps, him show the ability to get great separation, especially down the field. I don't think that he has been able to do that. And to me, that's going to be a big problem, because we didn't even see Travis Benjamin. We didn't really see him at all with the first team. So we don't know what it's going to look like in week number 1. But I can tell you, he's not Josh Gordon. Greg Little is still Greg Little. Jordan Cameron, and Tom Withers just reporting right now on Twitter, that Jordan Cameron's getting treatment on something. Yep. He might not be 100%. All of a sudden, things are not looking as rosy for this offense, and you're going to have to win, I think, week 1 by grinding it out with Trent Richardson and by hitting a few shots down the field. But being in that game, selective. I think Whedon's going to have to be selective. He's going to have to be a little safe. And again, we were so worried about right guard. The offensive line wasn't the problem.
No,
he had time to throw the football all day long.
And the line, not only was it not a problem in terms of protection, held up well. O'Neal Cousins at guard, Garrett Gilkey at guard, no big issues there.
None.
It also did a decent job, I thought, of run blocking, better than the first 2 games. Trent Richardson had a couple of places to go. He definitely ran solidly, and I thought he looked explosive. He looked like the Trent we wanted to see. He went one more series than he did the previous game, and I'm fine with him hopefully having less time in this last game. But Rob Chudzinski saying that he's talking about the starters playing. It's almost as if he wants to punish these guys for a poor showing against the Colts. He essentially had said, had they played well against Indianapolis, I was all for a very minimal time of appearances against the Bears Thursday night. Now he's talking about starting these guys. And exactly what that means, we didn't hear from Rob Chudzinski today, so we don't know all the details of that. But that's a significant thing, too, because that's a coach who saw what we saw, was disappointed in what we saw. And add to that 9 penalties. Penalties have been a problem but that's 3 games now that penalties have been a problem. And they're not being committed by the guys. They're not all being committed by the guys who aren't going to be here after, like, this weekend or by Tuesday, when the cutdown has to be to 75. They made some cuts today, but some of the cuts that are forthcoming. Joe Thomas got a hold. DeQuell Jackson got a hit to the helmet. You know, we've seen Joe Hayden get a holding penalty that wiped out a touchdown return in week two, game number two, against the Rams. So, you know, or against the Lions. This is troubling. This is troubling to see this sort of stuff happening with a team that I think needs to understand and does understand that it has to, it can't afford to give up things like that. It can't afford to have self-inflicted wounds.
The Browns are going to need to play clean. That is what they're going to need to do. We saw it didn't happen against this Indianapolis Colts team. You see a guy like Andrew Luck, and that's, I think he's already an elite quarterback entering his second year. He has every reasonable skill you want. He has the athleticism. And that's the thing. People didn't give him a lot of credit for his athleticism. I'm pretty sure he ran a 4.5 40 at the combine. He ran for 300 yards a year at Stanford. He can run. There's nothing he can't do. You saw him throwing on the move, throwing to the right, running left, throwing the football. He did a very, very good job. And we'll talk about the defense. I actually, even though they gave up points, there were some things on the defensive side of the ball that I actually liked. I thought I felt good about that. I want to talk about Trent Richardson, though. I thought he had very good cuts, the explosive quickness, and he had a good short area burst on the one cut where he caught the swing pass and made a one cut and move and went. I also thought it was interesting, and we talked about this starting to happen, that the Browns are going to establish that the left side is their running side. And I wanted to see John Greco block well, and I thought he did that in this game. Of Trent Richardson's 7 runs, 5 of them went left for 24 yards. So I thought that was good, establishing an identity that when the Browns need to get a yard or two, they can go right behind that left side, often like Sean Alexander would do in Seattle when they would go left with his good guy, with Walter Jones and Steve Hutchinson. So I liked what I saw in that regard. I think really the question was, can Whedon keep this up? He was the talk of the town, and it's funny how quickly things change in a week because he was the media
especially
darling.
Especially when you're that guy. Right. When you're that guy, and there's a lot of concern and doubt, you know, hovering over him.
Right, absolutely, as there should be. He's unproven, and as we've said, he's in the system that will allow him to succeed. I would have liked to see more aggressiveness from him, even though, you know, he may have thrown an interception. We can say he didn't throw an interception. That's great. Probably should have had one that was dropped, quite frankly. But I wanted to see a little more aggressiveness, given that it is the preseason. Try to stick some throws in there, because that's what the Browns are going to have to do. That's what Brandon Whedon is going to have to do when these games get real and get competitive.
Yeah. Scott Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram will be joining us in a little bit. We'll get his thoughts on Saturday's game as well, and on what the Browns are going to be looking like Thursday night. What can we expect from game number 4? Usually the very forgettable of all the forgettable preseason games. They're all forgettable. This one's supposed to be the most forgettable. Maybe not so much for this Browns team. And we want to hear from you. Call us up. 216-578-0850. 216-578-0850. Want this to be your reaction day. This is Reaction Monday. And you tweet us as well, at Browns_Daily. It is Vic Carucci, and it is Nathan Zagura. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily right here on ESPN 850 WKNR.